Again, we're looking at lining up with God's Word to receive healing. And really, is if you don't, people don't understand what the Word says about healing, there, it's an impossibility to line up with God's Word and walk in faith with God's Word concerning healing. And I've thought about it. You know, I remember, used to use the term more often than they do today. You don't hear as much of it used today, but they used to talk about, every once in a while I'll hear somebody talking about what they call faith healers. And they use that term, and usually it's not used in a good way. You know, it's used in a bad way. And I even hear Christians talking about it. And, you know, it's funny that Christians would knock something they say is faith healing, something of faith they would knock. And the reason they do, that individual absolutely knows nothing about what faith is or what it is. So they throw a term out, faith, well, you know, there's no other way to do it. There's no other way to do any other thing. And as Jesus ministered to people, is by faith. And Jesus asked people, do you believe I can do this? Jesus was a faith healer, and they didn't like him either. So don't be surprised they don't like you. But we're looking because we need to line up with God's Word, and we've been talking about those things. We're in the areas we spoke about was the fact that if somebody's going to be wants to receive healing from God, they're going to have to believe that it is God's will for them to be well. They can't think some other way. I mean, the majority of the even church world mostly believes that, yes, God can heal. They'll say, oh, yes, God could heal. You know, you get a guy who's, you know, against healing. If he's a Christian, but if you talk, well, in other words, God can't heal. Oh, yeah, God can heal. God can, but he just ain't going to do it, you know, or you know, he might. It's the thing of it is, you have to come down the place. A person must come the place to believe it is God's will for them to be made well. And we also looked at and spent a lot of time looking at the areas God is a giver. That's what God does. And one of the things that we looked at specifically was God gives healing. And so you're going to have to, it isn't good enough to be God wants you well. Will God, you know, if God said, yeah, I want you well, but then don't give it to you, wouldn't that be weird? But God's a giver. That's the nature of God, the nature of God's giving. God's not a withholder. And we really look at the standpoint, man withholds by what he does. And really, we look at our side. You know, it's just like it's God's will that, you know, all people should be saved, that everybody should come to repentance. That's the will of God. So God's not holding salvation back from anybody. Nobody has salvation held from them, even though most people don't accept salvation. Yet, it wasn't because of God's will. It's about man's will. And it's getting over in that area is understanding the difference. And why we want to teach people, we need to teach people so they know this is about their will, their side. God has done his side. Many people are waiting for God to do his side. God's not, you know, God's already done his side. If you ever think about this, really the standpoint, when Jesus took his blood into the holies of holies, the Bible said he made an eternal salvation. The eternal salvation was completed in Christ Jesus. Now, we haven't received the new body yet, but the Bible tells us that comes at a time. But we've already been made joint heirs and things. In other words, it's sort of like, you know, and you've heard me say many times, God ain't going to do nothing about the devil. He put that in the hands of man. So, in other words, we have the right to bind the devil. We have a right to throw the devil out. That's ours. It's the same with healing. We lay hands on the sick. But healing and things, we need to understand that is completed for the Christian. God's really not going to do anything about it. Other than when we respond by faith, God cooperates with whatever we do. You know, whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So God is basically dealing from our side. And faith is believing that God has completed something or God has already given it. And we need to know that. Just like the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I found this out years ago. I used to minister a lot in that area to people in the baptism of the Holy Ghost years ago. When I was in Full Gospel Businessmen, even when I was a president of the chapter, one of the big things was you get people saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. A lot of times in our meetings, a lot of people came who were saved but weren't filled with the Holy Ghost. And we used to get them full with the Holy Ghost. And I learned this about getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. And I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. Most people had trouble, and lots of times God would use me to get people filled with the Holy Ghost who were trying to get filled with the Holy Ghost for years. and these other people be trying to minister, so-called minister to them, the Holy Spirit. But most everybody would always try to talk them into getting God, believing God will give you the Holy Ghost. You don't have to believe God will give you the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost already been sent. It's just like salvation. Jesus ain't ever going to give me salvation. Jesus already gave me salvation. Just took me 30 years to wake up and get it. It was already given. The Bible says as many as receive Him. It don't say as many as ask Him to save them. It says as many as receive Him, to them gave Him the power to become the sons of God. When Peter and John went down to Samaria, it said they went there because they heard the Samaritans had not received the Holy Ghost. He didn't say God hadn't sent them the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was already sent. They hadn't received it. They just went down there and laid hands on them so to receive what God had already given. So I learned that a long time ago. Well, God had already given the Holy Ghost. And I'd tell people, you're up here to receive the Holy Ghost. We're not asking God to give it to you. It's already given. Well, that changes everything. See, most people think, well, they're waiting for God to give it. They're saying, no, that ain't how it works. And this is why people, you know, people mean well, they ain't being bad, but they do bad by telling people we're trying to get God to give it to you. You don't have to ask God to give you the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost and He ain't left yet. He's here, and while He's here, you can receive Him. Just like Jesus. Jesus, when He made that eternal salvation and won it for us, anybody who calls on the name of the Lord gets saved. I mean, that's just a given. Because why? It's already given. Christ was already given to the world. It's a gift of the world given to us. We're asking for what belongs to us. And just think about it. All humanity, salvation belongs to them. Every Christian, the baptism of the Holy Spirit already belongs to you. We're not trying to get it. And I want you to understand this. Every Christian, healing already belongs to you. It's already given. See, as long as you're trying to get God to give it, you're still acting like Jesus didn't die on the cross. He wasn't raised from the dead. He didn't make an eternal salvation. There's parts He didn't give yet, and we got to talk Him into giving it to us. Healing is the guarantee that you're going to get a new body one day. God won't heal this body. I'm going to tell you this. If He won't heal a person's body, then He's telling that person, ain't no way you're going to get a glorified body. You ain't getting one. While we're here, healing is really the guarantee of the completion of redemption. And so, praise God. So we want to look at it. We've been looking now at ways that God gives it. Now we know, how does God give it to us? Because God gives it in certain ways. In other words, He's not saying, no, you can't have it. It's already given to us, but it's sort of like, you know, if you had, like here, if Pat bought out her vacuum cleaner. Now that vacuum cleaner was designed to work and, you know, clean up dirt, and it probably has a brush on it and stuff, and you blow over things. But you know, there's one thing, you gotta plug it into the wall. Now, she has electric comes into this place, but the electric doesn't automatically jump, even though the electric's here. It's in the house. The electric's here. It doesn't automatically jump over into the machine and makes the machine work. You have to plug it in. It would not be safe to have it jump from one place to the other, because if you got in the way of it and grounded, you might feel something. that's almost happened sometimes. The power of God gets so great, I've had it happen. The power of God gets so strong, it's like the power jumps, it's like electricity would do the same thing and knock you down. I've had that happen already. But you plug it in, and now the electric is there. It's there in the wall waiting for you. And it's just like healing. It's just like your money is in the bank. Now sometimes the bank acts like it's their money. It ain't their money. It's your money. When you go down and ask them for your money, when you go in and you want to go withdraw some money, or you want to make a transaction of some sort in your account, you ain't asking them from the standpoint whether they'd like to do it or not. You're asking them to do something on your account. And if they looked across and said, no, we won't do that, we're not going to give you your money, I'm sure you'd say, well, it must have been God's will. And just walked out the door and been real humble. Everybody'd say, and then you go to somebody and tell them what happened, say, I just don't understand. And you know what? Would people look at you and say, what's the matter? Are you some kind of idiot? Are you stupid? What's wrong with you? You know, God's been nicer to us than that, but I believe at times it made it cross His mind, are they stupid? I think sometimes He put, is that Ed crazy? What's wrong with you? Something wrong with that boy? No, we ask God because God has deposited these things onto our account. They're already deposited. You know, you think about the revelation that Jesus gave Kenneth Hagin about money. He said, all the money you need is right down in the earth. It's already there. He said, you tell the devil to get his hands off of your money. See, we act like God's holding something back and it ain't got nothing to do with God. It's ours. Why? The money that I need is on account. What we have a problem with, there's a guy who's evil who got behind the teller thing. And he's saying no. And Jesus said, you tell the teller he ain't got a choice. You tell him to knock it off and give you your money. Now people sit around, keep blabbing to God about it, blabbing to God about it. Act like they're praying, act like they're seeking God. Ain't doing nothing but wasting the time and the devil's cheering them on. Just keep doing it that way. Please, keep acting that way. Keep doing that. Keep blaming God for your trouble. Keep acting like he's holding out. That's what he wants. And so we need to understand that healing. So God has ways that he supplied. And the wonderful thing is, God has many ways that he provides healing. There, it comes through to people, and that's a wonderful thing. In other words, there ain't one plug or one socket. Sometimes people act like there is only one plug or one socket, that you can do it. And it's not. Really, there's many ways that you can receive. And we've been looking at that. How does God provide healing to people? So how does God do it? Since God's a giver, well, how does he give? Well, what way does he do that? It's like at the bank. You go to a bank. Now, you could walk into any bank that would be or branches under the banking system that you're under. Now, they make these automatic teller machines. Now, many banks can go through the same machine, but even not all banks go through the same machine. So you can, you know, go sometimes to some machines and they wouldn't take your card, but others will. Some of them are tied, like we bank through the Lebanon Federal Credit Union I forget how many teller machines, they call them tellers, you know, that all over the United States. I mean, there's so many of those things, dear Lord, all over the place that you can go to those machines and you can use them. So, I mean, that there's, you know, that's a really nice benefit. But anyhow, you're going to have to operate in some way through them. So God has provided certain means by he supplies healing. So we can expect, and here's one thing you can look at, and it's a thing to do. Most people don't know how God heals or what he does, or they'll know one way. And if somebody starts operating in another way, well, thank God. So it's good to know how God does it. It's good to know the ways God does things. You need to know how God's going to do it. Now, we talked about the one way we talked about was anointing with oil in James. We had talked about that. That was a way that God has provided areas of healing to people. That was one way that he did it. The anointing of oil, praying the prayer of faith over the sick, and it said the prayer of faith is going to save the sick or heal the sick. The Lord will raise them up. And we talked about another way was the name of Jesus. You know, we see from a scriptural standpoint, sometimes they didn't pray anything. They didn't say anything. They just use the name of Jesus. So that's one way that they did it. In fact, we don't find much in Scripture from the standpoint of them praying for people. Now, we're told here that they can pray the prayer of faith. We can do that over people. We can do that. Pray the prayer of faith. But we have here, really, the name of Jesus was used. Peter and John going in, there was a man at the gate, beautiful, and they just declared the man's healing in the name of Jesus. And the man was healed. We also looked, there was unusual miracles were done by the hands of Paul. He says where handkerchiefs and aprons were brought to his body to the sick, and the diseases left from his body to the sick. And it says the diseases left them and evil spirits left them. So we're doing it. And I talked about the fact I've done that at times. The Lord's had me do it. You know, here is one of the things is a lot of the times a way a person comes to God to be healed is usually the way that he heals them, but not all the time. And because I've had different ways sometimes, the Lord has used me and said to me how I was supposed to pray for an individual or how I was supposed to minister in a certain way. You know, I've heard people came and asked for prayer, and God told me to anoint a cloth for them and do that. And you just do it through the laying on of hands and doing it that way. We also talk about the word spoken. We looked at examples last week of the word spoken where Jesus ministered to people just by speaking the word, saying the word, And we need to understand that of saying the word. Now, one of the things that we have in Mark 11:23 talks about us speaking the word, speaking words. Mark 11:23 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." You see, really, that's the principle that the centurion used with Jesus and said to him, you know, you just say the word, my servant will be made well. He believed that Jesus could speak, to just speak the thing and it would come to pass. In other words, where Jesus told his disciples they could speak to the mountain, he believed that Jesus could speak to sickness and disease and it would obey him. You know, it's just like Jesus here. Jesus didn't say you have to go to the mountain and go do something about the mountain, other than he said, if you say to this mountain, but he said, you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that the things that you say, in other words, the words that you speak, you believe that those words will come to pass. He said, if a person believes that in their heart and they don't doubt about it, it will happen. Well, the centurion actually operated on that principle. He believed that if Jesus said it, he was willing to. Jesus, you don't have to come to my house. You just say it. It'll take place. And he turned around and went home. It was it. In other words, the mountain was spoken to. Now, we need to understand here, Jesus told them, the centurion understood his authority with people. But really, he didn't understand what many people don't understand today. Many people, whether we're sinners or saints, this principle is working in people's lives, what they say. You know, your future is set by what you've been talking. Your tomorrow is going to be set by what you've been saying before. Not just about what you say today. You know, saying wrong things and saying and talking wrong stuff and never changing it down the road. You know, I know people, come along and born again people, and they've said things, and I know as they get older in life, I know how things are going to turn out for them, and it ain't going to be pretty. I've heard them talking. And they've been talking and saying things over time, and people talking about it. There's a great fear about getting older in our society today. There's a great fear about it. You know, most elderly people are more worried about insurance than they are God. They're more worried. Why? Because I'll tell you what, sickness dominates their life. God sure don't. Sickness and disease rules and reigns. And they're more worried about it. But that's what they focused on. That's what they talk about. That's their life. And their life is focused into that area. So, it should not be surprising. I mean, I know people, and they say things, and they said it kiddingly, but it ain't funny no more. You know, they talk about, you know, you get older, I'm having a senior moment. And then what is a senior moment? They laugh about it. There's nothing funny at all about people losing their mind. Ha, 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 I've had a senior moment. Oh, he's dead funny. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah. Then they're 65 years old, their mind's going on them, and then they're sitting around trying to change this thing. Say, if you don't shut up, you talk this thing into existence. You kept telling them, you're going to have everything the world said you're going to get when you get older. Now you got it, and you say, I don't want it. Wow, you were claiming it the whole time. These people said, oh, you're one of those name it and claim it people. They're the exact people who do it. They're the name it and claim it. They're naming it and claiming it. When I get older, my mind's going. I'm sorry. I have not read in the Bible people's mind going. The only time that Jesus spoke about a person's mind going was a person who turned around self-centered, selfish. Guy who built bigger barns. I'm going to sit down, retire, and do nothing. I'm just going to get real rich, sit back, and I ain't going to do nothing. I'm just going to sit back in luxury. That's one of the things why so many people's minds, because people look, I am going to quit serving, I'm going to quit doing anything, I'm going to get older, I'll have all my retirement, and I'm sitting down and everybody's going to serve me. And they wonder why their mind went. Jesus said it was supposed to. Their mind is supposed to get weird. He said, this day your soul is required of you. Your soul deals with your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's your soul. And it ain't working right. Jesus said it wasn't gonna work right. If you do that. In other words, you don't go retire from life. No, there doesn't come a time for that. And so, because it's like anything, anybody who loses productivity goes under. I mean, that's just the way it is. You don't do it. You want to stay productive. You want to use your mind. You want your mind to work and do well. You want to still, you know, do things. And God's plan is that. I mean, there is no need for somebody to have health who is not doing anything. They need health to keep doing nothing. It's like, well, isn't it time maybe to leave? That'd be a good, you know, why would you want to retire and just go sit around someplace? I mean, let's get doing something, being productive in life. And so we want to do that. Now, in a sense, we want to talk about another area that God gives healing, another area it's talking about, and it, really in the area that we could minister ourselves. We read from the standpoint where it said the prayer of faith heals the sick, over in the areas of ministering healing, but we need to know too with this. Mark 11:24 is also a way that God ministers healing. A person can actually do this themselves. They don't need an elder of a church to do it. And it tells us what the prayer of faith is. And Mark 11:24 says this, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. So whatever it is that you're asking when you pray, whatever it is. Well, what is the thing you're asking? If you're asking for healing, what are you supposed to do when you pray? Believe that you receive them. Receive the what? Receive whatever it is. You believe you receive it. This is where majority of the people miss it. This is where most people miss it. Because they don't believe they received anything till they feel better or they think they see something or feel something. It says, believe you receive it. When do you believe you receive it? At the time that you pray. That's when you do it. It says, then what? Then you will have it. See, when people say, well, God has a reason for holding it back. God does not. He never held it back. They held it back by their believing. They don't believe God gave it, so it's impossible for them to have to, that they could have possibly believed they received it. Could you? You couldn't receive what wasn't given, did you? Could you? So if God is holding it back, then that is impossible that that person was ever in faith. They couldn't have been in faith. Because if they had been in faith, they would have believed they received it, right? Well, if they didn't believe they received it, then they're going to say things like, God didn't give it yet for a purpose. You know, there's a reason why He's holding it back from me. There's a reason why God. No, it's not a reason why God. It's a reason why me. You know, one of the things sometimes is people are dealing, lots of times I should say this, people are dealing in ignorance, lack of knowledge of the Word of God. They don't do it. That's why. They withhold things from themselves through that. Now, in dealing with there in Mark 11, if we look there at Mark 11, 24, but we need to also know this in just in the areas of things that will hinder a person from healing. They'll hinder them. They stop this. God don't. Here's what it does. In verse 25 it says, and when you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. For if you do not forgive, neither will God, the Father in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. In a sense, what's happening here, and again, it isn't God. It's dealing on the areas. Unforgiveness unplugs the cord. In other words, you've got to correct that. People that are holding something against somebody, here's one of these, unforgiveness. I remember a study that was done years ago. There were some ministers who were doing a study. Not all of them were ministers. Some of them were Christians, but they were psychologists and stuff. They got started doing a study on people in mental institutions and that stuff, Christians in mental institutions. And they said they found the majority of the people that were Christians that were in the mental institutions, the majority were dealing with unforgiveness. Unforgiveness. And unforgiveness was really the key to why most of them were in the situation they were. Unforgiveness will end up messing you all up. It messes you up. It isn't God. God don't mess the person up. Unforgiveness opens the door for the devil to do things to people. And one thing, you know, it'll just torment your mind. I've often watched people in unforgiveness are usually always blaming somebody else for what happened. It's them. So they hold that. And they're always mad at somebody. They're always upset over somebody. They're always thinking about those things. They're always mindset. And you know what? You don't have unforgiveness toward one person. I guarantee you, you're going to have another one, and another one's going to do something. You're going to do the same thing. You're not going to have, well, I'm going to forgive them. I ain't going to forgive them. And this. No, you'll end up. You start in the areas of unforgiveness, and you get over to where you after a while, you're mad at everybody. After a while, you're so flaky, nobody wants to be around you. And then it gets worse. Now the devil's, everybody's against you. And next thing you know, you are out there, you're taking medications because, oh, I'm just so nervous. Well, you ought to be nervous. My God, you should be nervous. As evil as you're acting, you ought to be nervous. Forgive! And so, we forgive. So understand that even though God provided a means for a person to be healed, unforgiveness breaks the circuit. Not with God. God said, but one thing about it, God's not going to forgive people who will not forgive. We need to understand that. See, a lot of times people are trying to get something they wouldn't give themselves. We have to forgive. And we need to understand that our actions, really from the standpoint, if I don't forgive, I'm not walking in love. And, you know, the person that may have done something to us may have been, completely evil, wrong, bad, what they did. But holding it against them does not help me. It changes nothing. You get people do stuff to you, and they think they're right, and they're never going to deal with it or anything. But you can't just keep going on with it. You have to bring it to a stop for yourself, for your own well-being. I found out that, I was my own worst enemy in things. And many times people are their own worst enemy. But they think it's somebody else, but they're their own worst enemy. Because they really work against themselves because of what other people do. What are you going to do? There's all kinds of people. We live in a society today. We get people, they're wringing their hands over our government and all kinds. They're wringing their hands over it. Well, what are you going to do? We get mad at them all the time, and, it ain't going to work. What about me? The joy of the Lord's my strength. If I ain't in joy and I'm in worry, I ain't got no strength. Boy, a lot of people ain't got no strength today. They ain't got no strength. When they're over trying to believe God? I'm sorry, you ain't got no strength. Forget the business about believing God. You ain't believing nothing. You're going to have some strength to believe God today. You're going to need strength to do it. And if the joy of the Lord's my strength, then I need to stay over in that area of joy. And that's because of where I focus and what I keep my focus. Is God my source, or is that individual who did something to me, are they my source? And really, they become your source whether you like it or not. The person that you don't forgive dominates your life and always will. They're going to rule over you because the thoughts of them are going to always rule over you. And they only rule over you because you decided to make them Lord in your life by the way you think. So don't go there, okay? But the prayer of faith will work. So operate in the prayer of faith. When you pray, believe you receive it. That's how you get it. You believe at the time you pray, God gave it to me. Hallelujah. That's what you believe. And then you tell people, well, you don't look well. I don't pray. I believe God gave it to me. That's my job to believe it. God gave it to me. My job ain't to go around and try to explain to somebody something. My faith is when I prayed. If I ask God for something in prayer, I just say, well, I believe He gave that to me. And from that time on, I believe like it was given to me. I have it. It's mine. It belongs to me. And, it's just the same way. If you went down here to a place to buy a car and you went in and you signed all the papers, you had the cash or whatever, you gave them the money and they were going to prep the car for you and get it ready. And you know what? According to most Christianity, we're the biggest liars in the world because we go around telling people we just bought a new car. But most Christians, they don't believe anything until they get it in their hand. That same Christian will say they bought a new car. Say, well, I got a new car. Well, where is it? Oh, well, I bought it. They're taking care of it. Oh, then you didn't get a new car yet. You'd say that to them, and they'd look at you like, well, you're weird. The Bible tells you you're supposed to believe you receive it when you go. See, that's why people, it don't work for people. Because they're going around and tell everybody God, they didn't get it yet. Yet anything in the natural, they'll go the opposite way and operate and say it so. And it ain't lying when you do it like that, but if you do it over here, you're lying. No, I'm telling you, I got what I believe. I believe I received. That's what I have. So therefore, it's mine. I got it. It belongs to me. I own it. If you ever look over the Amplified Bible does it best in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, where it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. the real Greek words used in that thing is explained in the Amplified Bible. It says faith is the title deed. And really, from a legal standpoint, that's what that word was used as a title deed. Faith is the title deed of what you hope for. You have the title to it. You see, for me to own a car, my ownership is not having the car in my possession. Whoever owns that car holds the title. You know, if I buy a car and they hold the title, they're still the owner of the car. I can't sell that car. That ain't my car. They hold the title. You go try to sell that car, you can end up in jail if you sell that car without that title. You can go to prison. Why? Because you illegally sold something. I can own a piece of property in another state. I could buy property in another state. I could buy a car in another state. Never see it with my eyes, but purchase it, and it's legally mine because I hold the title to the property or I hold the title to the car. It's mine. Law says it belongs to Ed Gibson. That's whose it is. It's mine. And see, faith is the title deed of the thing that you hope for. The things that you desire or want, believe. Faith gives you the title to it. So it's mine. Once I believe it, and that's what Jesus is telling them in prayer. He said, when you believe, you receive it. In other words, you hold the title to it. It is yours, legally. It is yours, unseen. Even though you haven't seen it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. So you got to get that into yourself. You believe God for something. You're praying and ask God to do something. You need to believe that it's done. You hold the title to it. If you don't believe you hold the title to it, it is not yours. It only belongs to whoever holds the title. If you think God still has the title, then therefore it is His and it ain't yours. Whoever holds the title, that's who it belongs to. I get the title for it from God when I say, I believe I receive it. What I prayed for, I believe it's mine. I believe I got it. You know, it's just like people, you know, I'm praying God, ask God for a sound mind. Hey, you know what? They'll believe they got a sound mind when everything seems sound, you know. And as soon as something don't seem sound in their mind, then they're talking to something else. They don't ever believe they get the title. You see, you got to believe that the time that you ask Him, you got the title to your sound mind. I have the title, my sound mind. It's mine. It ain't somebody else's. It ain't the devil's. It ain't God's. It's mine. I claim title of it when I believed I received it. You claim the title for it. So remember that in prayer. We claim title for it. So when you're praying, talk to people about that. See, many times the prayer of faith is prayed and people don't understand the prayer of faith at all. We pray the prayer of faith. We pray over people, never explain anything to them, and they just think, well, you know, they're waiting to get it from somebody else. They're looking around to see if God did something or whatever. They don't understand how to receive. They never take title to whatever belongs to them. I've seen people get healed already within a short period of time. They're right back in the same predicament they were in before. They were back just as sick. I saw people get out of wheelchairs and walk. Who couldn't walk, got out of wheelchairs and walked. And within a short period of time, were back in the wheelchair and couldn't walk again. Got into unbelief. Let the devil bring him back to him. Let the devil just haul it right back onto him. Oh, if God heals, you'll stay healed. Where do you get that? You can't lose it? I won't guarantee you can lose it. If unbelief and all craziness lets the devil bring things on people, I get back over into it. But the lack of knowledge of the Word of God, let allow it to come back onto me again. I've seen it with my own eyes, experienced it. I saw it happen within a few days. I saw a woman at camp meeting. I was kind of taking camp meeting. I was working down the handicapped area. Where they had the handicapped seating was, a lady there walked out of a wheelchair. She come back the next night to sitting in a wheelchair. And I asked her, what are you doing down here? She said, oh, she got in a wheelchair. She said, because I want a good seat down front. I just looked at her and told you, you said I will stay in that wheelchair, you're going to end up not being able to walk out of that thing. I said, I wouldn't care if I had to walk up to the peanut gallery to sit up in the back. I'd rather walk than get a good seat. You know, it's absolutely beyond me. I think a lot of Christians hurt themselves. You know, it used to be the big fad to, if I go out shopping, I get a parking space right up front. Say, most people, you need to be using them legs. You need to park 2 miles away and walk down to that mall. That'd do you a lot of good. You don't need a parking space up front. Most handicapped people don't need a parking space. Most handicapped people can't walk because they're lazy. They don't ever use nothing. Well, it hurts my legs to move them. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if I never moved in my life because I hurt, I'll tell you, I'd be laid out today doing not a thing. Say, dear God, there ain't no reason for people. See, there's so much nonsense and people doing crazy stuff out here. But she turned around and ended up by the end of the camp meeting, she couldn't get out of a wheelchair again. She was stuck in that thing. She's stuck in it. So see, we need to, and I've known other stories and things told about this, but we need to tell, see, if a person got healed by a manifestation of the Spirit, wasn't their faith, they need to learn how to stand, because the devil will try to bring things back on you again. He'll try to bring stuff back. If you don't know how to stand against it, if you don't learn how to take a title and say, hey, hold it, I hold the title of my healing, you ain't taking it. It is illegal for you, devil, to sell it. You can't come and bring something. Sickness, that ain't mine. Health is mine. I have my healing. It belongs to me. It's in my name. I have it. God gave it to me, so I own it. It's mine. I have the title to it. And you got to learn to do that. You got to learn to stand and fight and say, hey, hold it. I ain't going back to that. We ain't going there. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin used to tell the story about being in his bed and had all the heart symptoms come back on him that he had had. And he talked about laying in a bed. He was ministering at that time, and he said about, it came back to him, the devil told him, said, you aren't going to get healed this time. And he began to laugh at the devil. But the whole thing was he ended up saying this to the devil. He said, you said I wouldn't get it. He said, the devil asked him, he said, why are you laughing at me? He said, because you said I'm not going to get my healing. He said, you're exactly right. I ain't going to get my healing. I already got my healing. That healing belongs to me. It's mine. I already have it. See, most people are trying to get healed. I'm believing God to be healed. See, what they're telling you, most people, I'm trying to get this thing. This is something I'm after. They don't believe they got it. They're trying to get it. They don't say, I believe I received my healing. They say, no, I'm believing for it. For it means it ain't been, you ain't got it yet. I'm believing for a new car. I'm sorry, I got one. See, I'm already believing for my next car, and that's still good. See, I'm having another one. See, most people, they wait till everything goes wrong with it, and everything, they start believing God, and then they turn around to have to drive junk now for another good period of time, and they gotta, look around for somebody else's stuff that they wore out to get one of them, to maybe they could drive that in a little bit more. It's like, nah. Drive something good, get something good, get it, and go after it. But put your faith out to God. See, people wait to the last minute and then they're trying to build their faith to get something, and that'd take 2 years. Meanwhile, they're so far down the road. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're believing down the road. I'm already looking ahead. You know, while I'm here on this earth, I'm going to need another car. That ain't going to last forever, friend. Hallelujah. And I can wait till it falls apart. And you know what? I just might want another car before that one even gets bad. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. It's like, dear Lord, being too conservative can really hurt your faith. See, a lot of people tell, well, I'm saving money. Sometimes the worst thing you can do is save money on something. Sometimes, I learned this over time. My dad was always the guy that got the secondhand cars. Now, if the person wants to do it, that's good. You go ahead and do whatever you want. But my dad finally came out in life, and my dad got older. He said this one day. He said, I found this out. You'd just be better off going buying the new car. He said, get something that he said is good out of the box. You ain't got somebody else's problems. You ain't got somebody else's stuff. He said, it's under warranty. He said, and buy the thing. He said, even if you make payments, he said, you come out ahead of what you would if the people turned around thinking they're going to save money going from car to car. And I thought, Dad, you finally got it. You finally understood it. I know people today, and it's just the craziest thing in the world. I've had to talk to people about it. They're going out here looking at their used car. They want to get a good used car. But they're going out on a used car. Well, the used car, if they don't have, especially if you don't have the money to pay out up front, Well, what you're going to pay for the car, you're going to pay more money, really, because you get if you have to borrow any, you got to pay a higher interest rate. In my words, you go out here, and I showed people, my words, they could buy a new car. I said, if you could afford $300 a month to pay off that used car, I said, why to get down here? I said, they'll sell you a car down here for $200 for a brand new one a month. I said, if you can afford to pay the $300, you sure afford to pay the $200. I said, get the $200 and get the new one. Use some wisdom. The world got more wisdom than Christians do. Because some dumb preacher said, well, you should never buy anything on credit. You shouldn't. Some of them even teach it's a sin to buy something on credit. I've heard them sit around and say that. Well, let me tell you this. The Bible talks about loaning, lending the poor. It says about you'll lend and not borrow. Well, let me tell you, if borrowing's a sin, then lending would be a sin too. Now, people need to get out of this, because I'll tell you, the devil will keep you in bondage through knuckleheads. You know, I've had God tell me to give money away on a credit card. $2,200. He said, I want you to give his ministry over here. And he said, I want you to put it on the credit card. Oh, dear, I don't want to put that on the credit card. I don't want that. He said, put it on. I did it and it worked. I did it and the whole thing worked. It didn't only get the $2,200 paid off. It got me out of the other debt that I had. It paid. You listen to God. As I remember Brother Hagin say about it, he said, God told me specifically to borrow money for certain things to do. He told me to borrow the money for it. He said, you go do that. And people, you need to listen to heaven, what to do. But sometimes just using wisdom on things. I mean, you got to think about what you're going to pay out in something on its use. You got to figure out on the long run. It's just like, I learned like with churches. I remember, working around churches, and they wanted to do something. They always would go look at first starting off and doing things. We're buying things, the cheapest one that they could get by with on the time. And watch them do the things of over time, spend more money than if they had bought the good one in the beginning. Wow, we didn't want... That's a lot of money. Yeah, but it sure paid to do it. That's why we have never bought a cheap sound system. We've never had, in all the years of our ministry, the sound system didn't work on a Sunday morning, didn't work. We couldn't get it working. Never one time. I've sat in churches where they had trebles and trebles and trebles with that stuff over time. Sound system didn't work. No, no. Well, they're out here trying to save money. Hallelujah. God can't get you something that works. He's pretty much a slacker. Now, he's sitting up in heaven. He ain't having trouble with communication systems. And he don't want you to have it here either. But I tell you, you got to watch it. There's times to look at wisdom and things, but there's a lot of things called wisdom today that in Christianity is no wisdom whatsoever. You know, my words, they go out here today and a car company's getting trouble. They try to give cars away. Sinners are smart enough to go take them. Christians are running around and jumping and breaking down, going to go half the time, can't get to work because the car don't work. And the sinners are sitting in the parking lot driving to work or something nice. That car I got has a lot of gadgets I don't even, use. It got gadgets. You know what? I guarantee you the next car I have is going to have more gadgets than that one. I want to buy the bottom of the line one. I just want to get the one just so the door is open. Not me. Because there's one thing I learned. Even if I wanted to get rid of that car, I'd get more money out of that car if it got more options on it than the one it don't. And I'll tell you what, you can talk in sometimes the same vehicle with almost no options and one it does, you can talk about almost twice the money on a trade-in because you know why? The world don't want the car with no options on it. I had a guy buy a car one time. He bought a car. New car, brand new, but not this 8 years ago, bought a car. Didn't want cruise control on his car. Well, I don't use that. I go away. I said, you know what? The bad thing about this, I said, one day you're going to want to get rid of that car. Now, without cruise control in it, I said, you know how many people are going to look at that car on the lot? And I said, that guy who's going to sell that car, when you go to trade it in or whatever you do, they're going to look inside there and say, well, you're going to get about probably $1,000 to $2,000 less because we're going to have a hard time moving that car because most everybody that we're going to buy it's going to want cruise control. I said, over a cheap old cruise control that you can buy, and this is wisdom. Ain't got no wisdom at all. The guy wanted to give his daughter the car, and she wouldn't take it because she wanted cruise control. She had more said. After a while, you know, see, he wanted to do car. She said, I don't want the car. She said, because it doesn't have cruise control. I don't want it. Because she drives places and wants cruise control. Couldn't give it away. You know, it's just like me. If a guy gave me a car like that, you know what I'd do? I'd take it down and sell that sucker. What else did he leave off that thing? So, you know, but see, people got to use wisdom. I mean, you got to think down the road. See, many people would think about saving money at the time, but they don't look down the road and what the thing they just did, they're going to lose thousands of dollars off of. Down the road, said they saved money. They didn't save no money. They didn't save no money. They did something dumb. So, praise God. Hallelujah. You know, it's like God told Randy Greer when he kept asking God to give him a plane he needed and that stuff, and the Lord spoke to him one day and told him about his plane. The Lord said to him, I don't need an airplane. You do. He said, you decide what kind of airplane you want and you can believe for. And then you ask me for that airplane. Whatever you want on it, you ask me for. He said, it's not what I want on it. You know, and I've learned that over the years before Randy talked about that. I would go out and I would just say about certain things I want this, like with cars. I want a car that has this on it, and I wanted certain things I wanted to have. And I want certain things. This is what I want. That's the car I believe for. I don't tell God this. I will tell you, this happens lots of times to people. People will be believing God for something, and you know what? The devil will have somebody bring to you something that is less than what you wanted. And most people think, oh, that seems good. I think I'll take that. That looks like a good price or a good thing. And they take it. But that wasn't what they were believing for. I've turned things down already. I said, no, it's not what I wanted. Now, this is what I want. I want this certain thing. Why? Because what happens? That person never, ever follows through on their faith. And after a while, their faith don't work. Because the devil can always come and offer them something. And they never carry things out to where their faith produces what they said they were believing for. You want to do that. You know, God don't give you something else other than you ask for. If he did, then he's a fraud. Then this whole faith business is no good. The whole faith thing's no good. And you've got to sit down and decide that. The whole faith thing gets thrown out the window. And see, this is where we need to understand this. If I believe whatever thing I pray, says whatever things you desire. He didn't say whatever I want you to have that you pray for. Does it say that? At least not in my Bible. But you know what? A lot of people's minds have a Bible that says that. He said whatever thing you desire. He's talking about things. They say God's not interested in things. Well, of course not. He's not interested in things because he don't need no things. He got everything. But Ed Gibson is interested in things. I live on an earth where I need things. And the devil has robbed man of a lot of things. So here in this realm, there's things that you need. And you can pray and believe God for those things. You know, you need healing. You need to believe God. Believe God for that healing. As if you operate the areas of prayer to do it, believe you receive it at the time you get it. Most of the time, I don't use the prayer of faith in that area. I just make a confession. I just speak concerning my health. I learned to do that. That's the way I've always operated in that area. I'm just not from the standpoint of prayer. But whatever way you do it, when I speak it and say it, I believe that that thing will come. That's what's going to happen. I have it. It's mine. That's coming to pass. I said it so it's so. That's the way it is. And so it's the same way here. At the time you pray it, believe you receive it. So whatever is it thing. And get out of your minds one of the things that a lot of people do. God will supply your needs. And people get over the things and then they start this set of, well, I really don't need this, or I really don't need that. You know, I've learned this a long time ago. I hindered myself by listening to people talking about what need was. And what most people think need is what you can just get by with. That's need. That's need. You can just get by with it. God wants you more than to get just by with. It's just like money. I need more money than to pay my bills. That's a need. Because I have a need to give. If God don't give me enough money that I can give, and He's not going to do that, He's only going to give what I need to pay my bills, then He needs to get off His stupid chair up there and do something, because He's sitting around asking me to do something. He's keeping me from the ability to do it. He wants me to give, and on top of it, He don't give me enough to just get by to pay my bills. Most people, you know, they're just glad to get by to pay one bill. And pay them all. But we need to get over that. What is my need? My need is to have more than enough. My need is to have, not a get-by car, a good car. That's my need. There's nothing wrong with it. I need a car that's reliable. I need a car when I go out and turn the key, it starts. I need a car in the wintertime that's warm. I need a car that has different things. I need them. I had a need for them. I had a need for different things. You know, I bought the van. I bought the van because I had a need. It wasn't a need, but people always say, well, ministry, I don't have to have this. Look, I had a need for my family. I bought the van. It wasn't for me. I bought it for my family. I had a need because when my grandkids and stuff and we'd do something and go away together, we had more room. Now, some people would say, well, you didn't really have to do that. You could have used the car you had and they could have drove their car. I like people in the same car. That was my need. And God answered my need. He answered my need. And see, this is where we got to get over the thing is God in concerning needs. People got to get thinking right. That was my need. Well, no, you could go do it. Both of you drive your cars. Well, yeah, but that's a lot of fun going places and that stuff. And that's really a great time. We're having wonderful whoopee together. You know, there's so much people. I need it. Look, if God don't work that way, then why did He do that for me? I wonder. I just can't get around to figure out where that guy's coming from. He's really strange. He's strange. So, you know, but we got to get over thinking right. I had a need for that. And that's the direction that I went. And we need to decide of what we have a need for, what we want. You know, somebody may want, you know, a Ferrari. I mean, I don't want one. You know what? There's something neat to look at or that, but to me, it's a Ferrari. It'd be fun to take out and drive, but you know, it wouldn't be the thing for me. Another person, they might love that. I mean, that would be just the thing. I mean, they would just have a great time. Well, that's good. Go have at it, and you know, believe God, get a dozen if you like them. You know, whatever. I don't care, and God don't care either. You know, people sit around, well, that's too extravagant. Well, you're going to hate heaven. Because God is so extravagant, it's absolutely nuts. I mean, our God's up there, you know, He ain't sitting around. Is God lacking anything? Does God have any things in heaven that He could without? You know, he could do without? I'll guarantee you there's a lot He could do without. Most of these idiots that He could do without, most of these idiots running around down here talking like He can't have anything. He could do without that. But He's still putting up with us. But it's getting yourself over in the right kind of thinking. See, it limits you. This is why many people, the areas of healing, they look at it in the same manner as they look at it buying something. Well, I can get by with this. I can get by. No, I need to be completely well. I need to be completely strong and whole. I need to be completely. They don't look at the thing. They look at like certain things. You know, I can get by. You know what? I mean, if, you know, they would think, you know, that I could, you know, if I could just get, you know, a better crutch, you know, then I'd be all, you know. No, you get over in the areas of thinking right about you, thinking about it. It's you know, completely well, completely whole. You're not ever asking God for too much. You know, as Randy Greer had the vision, God gave him the vision of a house in heaven, and he went and he heard this. He walked up, he said, it's beautiful, palatial. Huh? It's this beautiful thing. He said, he walked up this beautiful walkway, and he said, there was, oh, the yards and stuff and trees, everything just gorgeous. I mean, just, and he's walking up and he hears this grunting and groaning and this, he thought, what is this? And he finally goes up the front door and he said, there's this little demon standing there and he's trying to pull the door shut on the house. And he said, he had just about get it pulled shut and he would open a little bit and he's grunting and groaning, trying to push it shut. And the Lord said to Randy, he said, everything that you could ever want or need. He didn't say everything that you need. He said, everything that you could ever want or need is in there. And he said, I'm not keeping it from you. He said, He is. Well, that's diabolically against what most Christians believe. God's holding back. God, you know, well, you know. he throws a little out of the time. He'll, you know, every once in a while throw you a fish. If you sit up and go, clap, then he'll once in a while chuck you a fish. And the Lord told me, said, he is. It's the devil. And he, you know, the whole thing of it is, Randy said, when I realized it, he said, he wasn't some big devil at that door. He said, it's his little devil. He said, his little thing was standing there pulling on that door. And he said, he thought about the fact of, he said, all this time, that was what was keeping me from having the things that God wanted me to have. It was inside there. He said, everything you could want or need is in there. It's already yours. It's yours. In fact, the Lord told him, that's your house. That's yours. See, in heaven, what it's already been given. Whatever you need has already been given. It's yours. It's whether we get it or not, whether we get over and quit letting the devil take it from us. And we do that by don't believing we receive it. We're always waiting for God to send it. Send it. And so I'm really emphasizing that because you're going to have to emphasize that with people. You need them to understand most people and most Christians you're going to pray for don't think like that I'm talking. They're thinking the opposite way. They're thinking about trying to get God to give it to them. That's the way they're thinking. And that's why you have to explain to people. We just, you know, we're too quick. The Bible says lay hands on no man suddenly. Lest you get in other people's sins. You can turn around and get involved over in sin praying for people because you're not over in the areas of faith. You're going along with their beliefs and stuff. You stop and say, hey, hold it. This is the direction we're going here with this. This is where I'm praying and heading in this direction. And so, and get people to understand these things. Because God, no matter which method that God uses that we've been talking about, no matter what method He uses, God wants His people in faith. Now, thank God for the gifts of the Spirit, but you know, the gifts of the Spirit operate through individuals, and sometimes people ain't believing a thing, get healed. But you know what? Thank God they got healed, but the whole problem is they can't get it again unless they can operate in faith. And you can't sit around and wait all the time for manifestations of the gifts, because that don't always happen. That don't always happen. In fact, most Christians, that's not going to happen. They may get healed once or twice that way. Probably after that, they'll never get it again that way. God will expect them to start to operate in the areas of faith. We're going to have to use our faith on some level. We're going to have to start to do that and then build our faith. And so we need to tell people, because you want to bring people to the place where they can always get what they're believing for. That's not always a struggle. That they can always believe that they receive whatever it is that they're asking God for. You know, we were told by the Apostle Paul in Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus in the third chapter, he told them that God would give them exceedingly abundantly above what they would ask or think. Think about that. He said, what? According to the power that works in you. What's the power that works in you? We need to understand concerning the Holy Ghost and people that all the Holy Ghost. But really, the power that works in you is your faith. How far can you believe? God will give you better than you can believe for, but how far can you believe? You know, if I can believe for $2, God might send me a $5. But he didn't say you're going to believe God for a dollar and he's going to send you for $10 million. It's going to be according to the power that works in you. God will do better than where you can go to, but you have to develop over in the areas, and that's where you're going to have to take people to. You're going to have to teach them to come. You're going to have to go to something higher. You can't come to a level of faith, because I found this in my life. My needs got greater as I went along. When you serve God, you're going to find out your needs is number one. I found money-wise, I need a lot more money than I used to need to do it, because there's more places and things God's wanting me to go and do. It's kind of, and you know what? Last time I heard, it cost me money. Transportation cost you money. It cost you stuff. I mean, I ain't walking thousands of miles somewhere. I ain't hitchhiking for Jesus. That ain't the plan of God. You know, we ain't buying a donkey or a burro. So they say, well, that would be okay. Jesus rode one. Yeah, Jesus didn't have a jet. Dear Lord, we got jets. It's sort of stupid to go out and buy the mule. You know, don't bring the donkey and throw your clothes on it for me to ride into town. If you ain't got a car, forget it. We ain't riding the mule in town. The mule was the Cadillac of the day, but it ain't today. So get over it. But you know, as you think about it, so it requires money to do things, and you're going to need money. And understand this, God's going to have you to do things that's going to require finances to do it. or you can't. There's people who say, you know, I can't do this. Well, I just don't have the money for this or that. Well, if I have, I can't believe for it. God can't. People say, well, God never tells me to go here or go there. Well, he can't, because you always say you ain't got no money. You ain't never believed for none either. He can't tell you to go nowhere. Why would he tell you to go somewhere when you ain't going anywhere? You know, I ain't believing for money today. I'm believing money for the future, because I'll tell you what, I always need money tomorrow. And I'll need money the next day, and I'll need money. I'll need money for a year from now. For a year from now, Ed will need more money than he needs today. He'll need more money. Because what are you going to do? So you have to have it out there. Money coming to you. You can't, I can't do that, or I can't do this. You got to get yourself out there in believing. And that's what you need to tell people. That's what faith is all about. Faith is about your future. It's planning for your future. Faith isn't about trying to get something just now. It starts off there. Now understand that. When I began to learn faith, man, it was a day-to-day work. Yeah. It was get sick and I'm believing right now to get well. You know, I don't even think that way anymore. I'm going to tell you what. You know, people will come along and they'll start the flu season thing soon. You'll start hearing it. Boy, well, they're already talking about all the, you know, the flu stuff that they're getting. Anyhow, you'll hear about that stuff going on. I'm sorry. I'm always ready for every flu season. I don't get ready for flu when it comes. If the flu comes on me, I don't wait for that. I'm already out there. I have already been speaking concerning the flu and Ed. We've already had that discussion, and my voice is out there. And people say, well, why do you just keep saying that stuff? Well, sure, I'm putting my voice out there because I'm talking about my tomorrows. If you're waiting till the time comes you get sick to believe for healing, that's when it starts. Healing comes no sooner than that. It can't. It can't. It's impossible, because you have not believed for it till the time that it happens. You see what I mean? And so we have to learn and develop. Now, we start off that way, and you may have to start people off that way and just say, hey, here you go. Right there is where you're at right now. We're believing God. You're in a predicament right now. We're going to start to believe God, set ourselves, and we're going to do this. But we want to train people to start. That's why we want to make right confessions and say the right things, because those things affect our tomorrows. They affect the next day and down the road of things. It makes a huge, huge difference about those things. You can go on and look at stuff of people that miraculous, supernatural things happen to people and stuff at times. Sometimes I've seen that things are like people who were in major disaster things happening and that stuff, and they were delivered and others weren't. And usually you find this. If you would take the life of the people who went under and the people who went over, you're talking about two different types of Christians. The one person was a person of faith who spoke concerning their future, and the other one didn't. The other one was just talk like everybody else did, and when they needed God, they yelled for God. Or the other person. You know, somebody who don't walk close to Jesus and know about the name of Jesus, he don't all of a sudden stand up in trouble and the last second things look like they're all going under and he calls out in the name of Jesus and gets delivered. No, most of the people, they just get run over. Because they have never practiced that in their life. They have never done those things. They've never walked or lived in that stuff. And so when disaster comes, you know what they think? Doctor. When something bad comes, whatever they need to get out of their situation, they're thinking over the natural side, because that's the way they always walked in the natural. That's been their confession and what they've, the things that they've said, the things that people do. And that's what people have. And we need to understand that. We don't all of a sudden get real spiritual. That doesn't happen. Sometimes people have had miraculous things, but most of the time the miraculous came out of people that were believing something miraculous, were walking in it already ahead of time. The things that they were walking at, their future was already planned for them in doing that. It's learning in your life. I mean, lots of times I say concerning things and things happen to people and I just say, I'm not going to allow that to happen in my life. In the name of Jesus, that ain't going on in my life. We ain't doing that. We ain't heading that direction. We ain't going there. Well, many people, they don't make their plans to go nowhere. They hear all this bad stuff out there. They act like, well, it won't happen to me. If you ain't talking and saying it, don't be surprised if that's your door tomorrow morning, knocking on your door. Being a Christian don't keep nothing away from your door. I found that out. My words, the devil came more in force sometimes when I stood up in faith. It seemed like he brought his cousins along and everybody. You been there? You know what that's like? Well, it does. You make a statement. But you know what? Where would you be if you haven't stepped out into there? That's why many people live lives of just, you know, they just never have a victory of things because they have never spoken the victory ahead. There's no victory ahead for them. They're always just trying to have the victory when they get the battles. Do you ever think about, you know, if you read like warfare strategies and you look at people in warfare, you know, generals many times, it's like you like take a Second World War, they knew that if they, in certain campaigns, when they started off, they were going to take some lickings and some things that they were going to do. But their victory, it wasn't that, you know, it doesn't matter who won what battle, it's who wins the war. You know, I used to always say this. When I was in the Army, you'd always have the Southern guys would say, yeah, well, we won more battles than you guys did. And I'd always say to them, boy, that really helped, didn't it? I said, you lost the war. It don't matter how many battles you win. It's who wins the war. If you take it, Germany won more battles than the Allies did. Who won the war? You know? It's like it did. The winning the battles wasn't everything. You know, there was great sacrifice that people did. You know, the Normandy invasion was a huge sacrifice. But you know, if we weren't willing to give that sacrifice, we'd have never done what we did. We'd have never got on our foothold in Europe. You know, because the Germans, boy, they clobbered. You know, it looked like, boy, it was bad stuff going on. But what they did, they knew that we need to get a foothold, and to get a foothold, you might not, it might not be a pretty thing, but you have to do it. But you, what has? They had a plan to win the war. They didn't say, well, now let's do Normandy, and then let's figure out what we're going to do after Normandy. This is most Christians. Health is like the devil brings sickness. You get sick, then you believe for healing. They have no strategy to be well. There's no strategy to be well. The next time sickness comes, they get it. And then they go through the things of believing God again. I found this out. There's a lot of things. I'm serious. I go sometimes for up to years where I don't even get attacked in my body. Because I learned how to put some things out there to planning ahead. And that's what you want to do. You want to have things out ahead. Your strategy ahead will help keep you from facing things ahead. And those are things you want to teach people. You too. You want to talk to people about. It isn't just trying to get well now. It's starting to live a lifestyle of divine health. Start to live a lifestyle of that. Start to speak ahead. Start speaking about God working in you. See, if you get over and understand what I was talking about today, believe and you receive when you pray. Really, in a sense, that is making an action ahead of time and declaring something ahead before you even see it. If you learn to do that, you'll start to catch on the fact that, oh, well, I don't have to wait then till I have a need. I can start confessing my desires in ahead of time. Get it out there ahead of time and start to say some things. You know, I remember years like on cars. I mean, I was confessing for a number of years for a couple of years over, you know, another car. And believing God for a car, and the person finally came and gave, God told me, you know, they were supposed to take me out and buy a car. So we went out and bought a new car. God told them to. But, you know, I had a sense in me that with the year before I was supposed to have a car. And I said to the Lord about it, and he never talked to me about it, never said about it. I said, because I just had a sense that car was going to show up the year before, and it didn't. Wasn't until the next spring that car showed up. And the first thing the person said to me, last year, God told me to buy you this car, and I didn't do it. I want you to learn to do this, though, for yourselves. Learn to be a giver. Because remember this, I'm just going to tell you, you're going to reap what you sow. Many times, people don't get because when God asks them to give to somebody, they wouldn't. Remember, you're going to reap what you sow. Money in the earth, this money in the earth here, people got hands on it. God has to get people to release it. The wealth in this earth, you know, it don't just jump out of somebody's wallet in yours. I found that out. Somebody has it and somebody gives it. And, you know, if you want to release it, you need to do that. You know, Wanda and I just did a thing on Sunday, the place we went to minister, you know, and Wanda and I just said to Wanda, I said, you know, I think we're supposed to give them money. Now, see, most people think I'm going to go minister somewhere and they're going to give me money. I said, I believe we're supposed to give them money. Wanda said, yeah, she said, she said, you know, I was getting that too. We're supposed to give them money. And so we wrote a check out. Give them money. Now they did give us an honorarium, but it's funny. We gave half the amount that the church gave us. We gave to them. Well, see, the whole thing, but it's one thing. See, most people think of the standpoint, they get over in their minds wrong about it. I have to obey. I got to get over in that area that I'll release because, you know why? There's a lump of sum of money I've been declaring I have. It belongs to me. It's coming in. That I want. I have some good use for it that I want. And I've declared that. And in declaring that money, and declare that thing, I got to obey God. If I'm not going to release, I can't expect God to go get ask somebody else to release money when I won't. I can't expect that. I can't expect the devil's going to take his hands off of my money when I won't. When I hold it, I'm as hoarder as he is. So what do I got to do? I got to learn, and I just get over the thing. Now I'm fortunate. One thing is, I have a wife who will give too. I know some people, they fight over those things. You know, they don't. Well, we can't afford to do that. We can't afford to do this. I just said, I find this all the time. If I get a notion about giving, I'll say something to Wanda, and she'll say, I got that. Yeah, we're supposed to give. Yeah, we'll do something about that. So, you know, sometimes Wanda will get a desire about giving to something. She'll say, you know, I would like to give over here to this or that. I don't even pray about 2 seconds. If I don't get a check in my spirit when she says about it, I say, well, you do whatever you want. You just go ahead. Do whatever you want with it. Because I want to be over. I want to get in the area where my wallet's not closed to God. You know, I want to be in God's wallet. I sure should allow him in mine. Most people aren't that way. They want in God's wallet, but they don't want God in theirs. If I want a right to his, he has to have a right to mine. I want him involved over here, getting me money. I can just see those angels out there, you know, we're many people. You know, they're asking for things and the angels are out there, I ain't going to get that for them. They don't do nothing for nobody. They're always asking, but they ain't giving. And so we just learn to do that. And, it's a whole thing. Because that whole mentality will help you concerning health. You know, I've learned over the years, you know, it's nice to be well, but health's for a purpose. It's to serve God with. Health isn't just so I feel good and I can do what I want. If I have health, then God has a right to that health too, to be able to use me to what he wants me to do. He has a right to that. So people need to understand, we need to understand those things about it. There's a purpose in being well. There's a purpose for you and I having nice things. You know, I have to let God have the right to use that vehicle to go places and do what he wants to do. Not just for me to have a nice car with whistles and buttons and things and stuff. That's not what it's for. It's for the use too, you know, doing things. And we want to, and you know, it gets a lot of miles on it for Jesus. It's had a lot of miles put on it for Jesus. I mean, that car's, I bought that thing and, I mean, I'm already over 60,000 miles on it and that stuff. And I mean, it's going to go quick. And that's why I'm believing for a head, because I tell you, it won't be long. It'll be needing another car. Hallelujah. And a better one. Glory to God. I'll guarantee you, it'll cost more, whether I have to pay more or not, but it'll cost more. But I'll end up with it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I just want to encourage you guys, because once you learn the things and learn to walk in these things, remember, always remember that people don't know that you're around. Don't ever take for granted that because you learned things, anybody else knows them. You start to find out most people don't know. They don't understand them. And so lots of times we just take for granted and go ahead and pray and do things, and we never really talk to the person about it or share anything with them about what they want. They want something from God, but they're not so sure God wants to give it to them, or they don't know how to actually believe for it. They don't know. And so always, many times I question and ask people, because sometimes people come to me and they're asking for a certain thing, and I ask them some questions about stuff, and because I want to find out, where are you coming from? Where are you at? Because sometimes people's questions, what they ask, is not where they're coming from at all. And so you have to find that, because you've got to find the place that they're at, or how are you going to minister to them? How are you going to do it? You know, you have a person, I can get things for a person who is ignorant, who really don't know, but as a person who's after God, I can get things for them using my faith. I can get the airplane. I've done it many, many times for people, got things for them because they were in a position to get it. But you know what? They were downright honest and hungry and wanted something from God, and they were after God. They weren't just, you know, give me my stuff and I want to go do what I want. They really do love God, and you can get things for them. But you get some people, they're just downright spiritual lazy. And you know what? You can't get anything for them. They're going to have to come to a place where they can take a hole with you. And if they don't, they won't get it. You have to listen to your spirit about that, but you find that out. That's why I ask people questions. You know? Find out where they're coming from. You know? Sometimes with people, you know, they want things. And no, you ain't going to get it that way. You know? They have their idea how they think they're going to do it. So you bring them over to the Word. It's one thing as it is. If you bring them to the Word, it's just like, you know, well, I use a lot of scriptures we've used over these things of doing it. And that's why. Because you need to convince people. If people have generally been taught God's not going to do it, they're going to have a hard time at first grasping the fact, because they've been told and told and told and told and told, God heals if He wants to, or He does this. And they're told, no, here it is. And they're going to have to be, look, it's not one obscure scripture. Here, God said this. Look what else God said this. God said that. This is what He said. Well, they start to look and say, oh, yeah, wow. It does say, yeah, it says that. Because it isn't preached in our churches, or they haven't heard those things. And it's not enough to tell them God wants them well. It's to show them, you know, what God said, and so they can walk in the light of it and have the blessing. So when I learned about healing, I realized one thing, that I just don't want to be well. When I see other people sick, I don't like it either. And I hook up to however I can hook to people to use my faith to join with their faith so they can be blessed, so they can be helped. And that's what you want to do. It's not just for me. One of the reasons the Lord told me, He told me is the same as He told Kenneth Hagin. He said to me, I allowed you to go through things that you did. And one of the things that He taught me is how to believe God for myself for healing. He wouldn't let me go get it through somebody else. But He said, so you can teach people how to do it. Most Christians you're going to run into, the evens in churches that teach healing, do not know how to get a hold of it by themselves. They don't know how to do it. They always have to go to somebody else. You know, I don't want to have to wait. Got sick on Monday and wait to get to church, next church meeting to go get hands laid on me. That's wonderful. I don't want to have to wait to start to grab a hold of what I need till the preacher can get there. I want to be able to get a hold of something. And if we can teach people that, is teach them, you know, that God don't just answer the preacher, or He doesn't just answer me. As a guy, you can tell him, say, they don't answer me. He'll answer you. You can do the same thing. And because most people are really not taught that they can do that. And so hook up in those areas. Father, we just want to say thank You this morning. As we looked at these things, Father, I just want to thank You, Father God, that You quicken these things in our heart. And Father God, we just don't want to be able to just tell people information. Father, I want us to be anointed of God. We want to be anointed. Have Your hand on us to be able to minister to other people. Lord God, to minister the Word to them, Father God. Father, we want Your hand on us in the ministry of the Word, Lord God. Lord, because the Word tells us if a person knows the truth will make them free. Lord God, we don't want to bring something just good to them. Father God, we want them to know the truth of it so they can live in the freedom of it, not just have it on a once in a while basis, but Lord God, so they can live in it. And so Father, that's why we want Your anointing. It's to help others to walk in something better. And Father God, the things that we do and know and understand in the Word, and surely there's things we don't understand and know, but Lord God, the things that we do know, Lord God, help us through the Holy Ghost to convey those things to other people. Lord God, in a way that they can get a hold of it and understand. Father, so they can be blessed. And so we thank You, Father God. Father, we have a desire to instruct others. So, Lord God, Your will and plans and purposes can be done in their life. So Jesus Christ will be magnified and glorified. And we thank You for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.